first heard that song when I was 11 years old. I still get choked up every single time. So let me tell you, preparing for this service was a task. When I volunteered to do a summer service, Brian gave me a list of dates. I said, oh, mid-June sounds great. It was only later that I realized, oh, Father's Day service. Okay. Because you see, I know that like the traditional Father's Day service is the, look what a wonderful dad that I had. Yay for all of the dads out there. First time I heard that song, I was about 11, said, I didn't know where my father was. I'm actually not sure where he is today. I'll call him. He may or may not remember to tell me. I may or may not remember to ask. But the thing is, maybe this is the right service for me to have done, because this is my first service in 10 years or so. Forgive me if it gets a little awkward at points. My dad wasn't around, really, when I was a kid. In fact, my mother's family had me convinced that at some point he was going to come and kidnap me. And I kept in my backpack throughout middle school and parts of high school a spare set of underwear and shirts and socks in case he came and got me. And I kept quarters so that I would be able to call home and tell them where I was. Turns out, actually, my father was my custodial parent. Things I didn't know at 11. But in the moments in my life when I have needed him the most, he's showed up. Was he a great day-to-day father? Is he a great day-to-day father and grandfather? Not so much. We're really good friends. But on the worst day of my life, the single worst day of my entire life, and please may there never be a worse one, he drove down overnight from New Jersey, because he couldn't get a flight fast enough, so he drove to me. And he came, and he cleaned up the blood off of my bathroom floor so that after my husband had died, I wouldn't have to come home and clean it myself. I forgive him a lot of stuff these days. He's got a lot of credit with me for a long time. Because there's a lot of ways that we parent. Because last I checked, when they hand you the baby in the hospital, they don't hand over the scientific and concise, up-to-date 77th edition of the manual to your particular child. I'll tell you what, if any of y'all got it, share with the class, please. And it turns out, as I've spoken to my dad later, I told him once I was 8 and I attempted suicide. And I told him about it later. Needless to say, I failed spectacularly enough that no one even knew. I told him later. And his response was, you can't do that. That's a mortal sin. You'll go to hell. I was 8 years old, and I remember thinking, really? That's your reaction? Okay. Turns out, he panicked. He had no idea what to say. What do you say when your 8-year-old comes up and says this to you? Apparently, you blurt out the first thing that pops into your head, which is what the nuns told you when you were 8, 9, or 10. Because here's the thing. We kind of did get a manual to parenting. It's our own parents. And that can be good or bad. And this is me simplifying decades of psychological research and years of studying into about 2 minutes. Divide your brain mentally into 3 parts. You have 4 brain. This is your prefrontal cortex. This is your logic centers. This is the one that reads and memorizes and says, I need to buy a new car. Should I buy the Prius or the Subaru Forester or the, and it makes these types of decisions. Think of that as person brain, human brain. And then we have hind brain, lizard brain. That's the one that keeps you breathing while you're asleep. It's the base survival instinct. It's what makes you vomit when you've eaten bad Chinese. But midbrain's what we're going to be talking about, and it's mammal brain, and it's all instinct and training. It's the one that ties your shoes, makes your cup of coffee at 5:45 in the morning before you're actually awake enough to know what you're doing, and jerks you back onto the sidewalk right as that car starts to go by. What does any of this have to do with parenting? Why are we getting a pop psychology lesson? Because I'll tell you a secret. Your forebrain doesn't run nearly as much of the show as you think that it does. When you're stressed, when you're upset, when your baby is screaming in your face at 3 o'clock in the morning and you haven't had a full night of sleep in 9.5 months, forebrain shuts down. Basically, adrenaline up, forebrain down. And that's where that template from your parents comes in. Because it's your earliest training in how parenting works and how you are supposed to respond. Because how they interacted with us is how we set the template. So, every single one of us can think of something our parents really shouldn't have done when we were children. Every single one of us, no matter how wonderful our parents were. That thing they shouldn't have done is part of your template for parenting. So you can have the best intentions. You can have read all the books. You can have prepared for parenting for 15 years. You could have gotten a degree in psychology and focused partially on developmental. And know exactly how you're going to handle the two-year-old tantrums until they happen. And you're on 4 hours of sleep. You forgot to eat lunch because you were doing emergency potty training laundry. And you just need to get those last two errands run before your spouse gets home for their big surprise Mother's Day dinner. And suddenly there's a screaming toddler in the middle of Publix, and all your good intentions and parenting books are out the window, and you find yourself raging at them, just like your dad. Welcome to the midbrain. And it's even more fun than that. Yes, we're going to get bleak here for a minute. I promise I'll bring his tone back up. Who here has heard of the brand Seventh Generation? They make cleaning stuff and stuff for your house. They're based on a Haudenosaunee, which you may know as the Iroquois, saying that when we make decisions, we must take into account the past 7 generations and the next 7 to come. Well, psychohistorians, and yes, that's a real field, are discovering that the Haudenosaunee were a lot wiser than we give them credit for. Imagine that. Transgenerational trauma is what happens when trauma passes itself along like the world's worst family hitchhiker. It passes through the family stories and the way your mother's hand tightened on yours when she passed a man on the street who resembles the man who assaulted her mother because her mother's hand tightened on hers when that type of looking man walked by. It passes through the insistence your uncle has that addicts lack moral fiber and the way he gets aggressive when he drinks, just like your great-grandfather did, and how your cousin, his daughter, is a teetotaler now for health reasons. There's even some research, although it is in the very earliest stages and there is some flaws in the methodology, that suggests that traumatic events can cause DNA changes that are passed down through the generations. And there are smaller traumas that we carry and we pass on as well, particularly those of us who live in a world where 49% of the population are men. Most of us have heard the term toxic masculinity. And for those of us who haven't, it's defined by, and I'm going to quote here, adherence to traditional male gender roles that restrict the kinds of emotions allowable for boys and men to express, including social expectations that men seek to be dominant, the alpha male archetype, and limit their emotional range primarily to expressions of anger. Yeah, I see some of y'all nodding to that one. This is where the get up, you're okay, boys don't cry trope comes in, and the real men don't ask for directions or help or eat quiche thing comes in. And yes, that's another thing that we pass on. And I'd like to give you my favorite example of it, because it starts early, early, early. When my son was about a year old, he and a female friend, little girl, same age, were playing at daycare. And they were playing rough, like kids do. And they ran into each other. And they both went sprawling. And both of them, having knocked one another in the head, were crying because his to the head hurt. I bet you can guess which one of those children got fussed over, which one of them got told, you're okay, get up. Those kids were the same size. They hit in the same way, and they reacted with the same type of hurt and fear. We told one of them that being hurt and scared was okay, and they would receive reassurance. We told the other that it wasn't. That is toxic masculinity at work. For the record, those daycare workers were women. This is not me saying, oh my God, men are terrible, fathers are terrible, men are toxic. This is embedded in our society. It's not simply men who pass it on. This is the fathers who wait until mom is home so that mom can do the dishes. Moms who are stricter about their daughters' curfews than their sons. Husbands who say that family therapy is out of the question because they don't do that. And brothers who snack on goldfish crackers while their younger sisters chop vegetables for dinner with mom. So, pretty bleak, right? My God, this parenting thing, it's even harder than you knew it was. And that's pretty hard. But, you know, happy Father's Day. Here's the thing. Where we identify problems, we find solutions. What did I say that midbrain was? Instinct and training. All of this is training. So what does that mean? We can retrain it. Our brains are flexible. Yeah, they're a lot more flexible when we're children than they are as adults. But that old saying about you can't teach an old dog new tricks, well, I got news for you. I grew up training animals, and that's some BS. It's harder. Neuroplasticity is less of a thing when you're an adult. But if you couldn't learn a new thing as an adult, no one would ever change careers. No one would ever pick up a new hobby. No one would ever learn a new language. No one would ever move and learn directions in a new place. Yes, you can be trained. You can learn to be better. We all can. We've all done it. We have all broken bad habits. Maybe we've given up smoking. That's a really hard one. That's a lot of your brain involved right there. Maybe you started walking in the mornings. Maybe you just lowered the amount of sugar you put in your coffee when you're on autopilot at 5:45 in the morning. You've retrained yourself before, and you can do it again. My husband was raised in a house that would be considered violent by modern standards. At the time, it was just normal. It was what many of us were raised in. He and his brother were smacked and spanked as a matter of course, not to mention yelled at, like many of us were. But when our son's therapist made it clear that when we escalate, his emotional reactions by amping up ourselves, we both set out to retrain ourselves. And I watch Max when he's dealing with Damien. I see when that first early training is just, you want to grab him and you just want to shake him until his brains fall out. It's sure mine some days. And you know, I see when he forces himself to step back, to take a breath, and to ask him gently, "Hey, what's going on? How can I help? Let's take some breaths. Let's get our words back. How can we help?" I see when he tells Damien that he, Max, wants Damien to be more comfortable with his emotions than he grew up being. I see when the man who always hates people touching him getting all up in his space snuggles our spit and snot and cookie crumb covered littlest monster to him, regardless of the damage to, well, hair, skin, clothes, all of it. And he's not the only one. I polled some of my guy friends who I knew had a variety of childhood experiences, and I asked them how they're dealing with this. How are you, what are something your dad did that you don't want to repeat? How have you worked not to repeat it? My friend Jay told me that his father never made him feel as though he were important. Never important enough to change his habits. In this case, habit with a capital H. Never important enough to try and stick around to do the work. Jay, on the other hand, despite struggling with a number of issues of his own, has worked incredibly hard to ensure that his now 10-year-old son never doubts, ever, that he is the single most important human being in his father's life. They discuss it regularly, and they talk about why Jay and his wife divorced and Jay's role in it. Jay explains to his son that he made mistakes and talks to him about how he can do better than his dad Jay did. Another friend, Christian, was raised by a father for whom not only was it my way or the highway, but for whom that my way was enforced again almost casually with his hands. Christian made a deal with himself when he was 13 that he would not do that. And now, when he sits with his daughters, he asks them, "Hey, why did you make that decision?" Whether that decision is to draw the Sharpie on the walls, those sponges, those little magic erasers, they're great for that. Or to quit dance team. Why did you do that? Let's talk about your reasons. Maybe it's still going to have to be my way. Maybe I paid for 8 weeks of those lessons. You're on week 7. Just go to the last lesson. And maybe it's, "Oh, okay. No, that totally makes sense. Sure, we'll do it your way." What has been trained can eventually be retrained. We, who are here, have the ability to be better than our parents were, and maybe our parents were amazing. I was raised by two grandmothers who, for all of the things which I would not repeat now, never once made me feel as though I were a burden. Although raising a very active tomboy at their ages could not have been easy. Could not have been easy at all. They never once made me feel as though I was a burden, as though I was difficult. They loved me. And they worked hard to be better than their parents. And I work hard to be better than my parents, because there's always room to be better. All of us. None of us here are the proverbial walking on water yet. And all of us are putting in that effort to be the very best, because we are the caretakers of the past 7 generations, and we are preparing the next 7 generations to come. May we all always be able to do a little better than we did yesterday.